It's 2 a.m. or it's early in the morning, yes, on one of the coldest days of all time in Chicago. It's 10 degrees outside with a negative 20 degree wind chill. He's going to Subway.
Yes.
I didn't even know Subway's open there. Like, that's actually kind of lit.
And I love how that's like, that's the weird side plot of this whole thing. And people are like, Subway. And people are like, no, Subway be open. Like, they got mad good press on this shit. Like, came back from Jared. We're open late.
Yeah, they should have responded on Twitter.
Send the link.
Welcome to Send the Link, where we analyze the latest feeds and, of course, reads. I'm Brandon Harrison with my co-captain, co-pilot, and co-Marshall's line sufferer, Deej Dollars. DJ, we're getting this pod done, despite all odds, against all odds.
Despite against all lines? I don't know. That was very poor, but... Yes, I was trying to buy a screen protector at the Atlantic Terminal of Marshalls.
Using a 6-hour line for a screen protector?
The screen protector's in there with $5.
Fair.
I was.
But how much is your time worth?
It's worth more than that. But I didn't want to pay $25 for a really, very similar one at Best Buy, eight paces down the hall. So.
Okay, fair.
So I thugged it out. I listened to almost the entirety of Future's The Wizard album.
Is that new?
Yeah, within the past 2 months.
You don't know any music, so pardon me.
Yeah, man, I get that, right? And then my recommendation is, from track 6 and beyond, you good. Like, after track 6. Yeah, the first 6 tracks are forgettable. Everything after that is...
Well, that's a great way to start
pretty
an album.
Fire. I mean, you know, people have to make playlists out of albums nowadays, for the most part. You know, the art of putting together a nice, wholesome project seems to have gone with the wind. But you have it there for the most part if you just remove the first 6 tracks. So, yeah, do that.
That's funny, man. Well, I mean, it's been a long week. We're recording this on a Friday, so yeah. Pardon us. But, you know, there was President's Day. And,
there was a lot of shit going
on.
And
just
week.
Like, you know, it feels like it's been a long time. Like, I can't even comprehend everything that's going on right now.
Is it just because... I did. When I sat back for a moment and thought about the topics that we were going to discuss, there were so many disparate things, things that everybody knows, or a few obscure things that maybe some of us don't know. But I'm like, damn, like... Do we just know more? We just must know more immediately than news cycles of years past.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, because it just feels like overload sometimes.
And, you know, different silos. So you have your things that you're interested in on top of all of the crazy things that are happening.
Okay.
Things that are intruding on what you would normally engage with.
Yeah.
So it just becomes a bombardment of shit.
That's what it must be. Yeah, I think I got to ease up on Twitter. I've tried to take definitely major steps in my life to... remove unnecessary stimuli and attention grabbing things, but this week amongst others, I was like, damn, like, oh shit, R. Kelly got indicted for 10 charges, like literally earlier this day. Like, damn, you want to kind of like
and
it's
read
crazy a little
when it pops up as an alert too, because this is like, I was laughing about our main topic today for a while just because how hilarious it is, and I was just talking to people, and I was like, oh shit, R. Kelly got indicted. I was like, I can't even give this attention.
Yeah, oh shit, Robert Kraft got he got indicted too, or has he got named?
He got named in a
prostitution ring.
In a prostitution
ring. In Jupiter, Florida? Where's Jupiter? You lived in the Miami area at one point.
Well, he lives... near Mar-a-Lago in the Palm Beach area. So I believe Jupiter is near that. I wanted to Google it, but I didn't yet. But it's definitely not like the flyest town. It's definitely, apparently this place he was going was in a strip mall.
He was in some like seedy strip mall getting a back rub and a tug.
Just going on. If I can get an egg roll, he leaves and shit.
Oh my God. Yeah, Florida been on some wild shit lately, especially with these.
Like, I mean, shit, already, but are they beating Chicago though? Between R. Kelly and
I didn't even like put this shit together. Suffice to say, it's been relatively eventful for those of us that follow the news and the topics and the conversation of today. And I think that leads us to our main topic, or at least topic one. Go ahead, drop it on us.
Jesse?
Is it Jesse or Jesse?
I'm pretty sure it's Jussie.
Jussie. That sounds so haughty.
Oh, man. Jussie Smollett in the never-ending saga of Jussie Smollett. Now, you're aware.
Gay Pac.
That was my main thing. It's so hilarious to me. Once I heard that, because I didn't know about it. When this first started, and listeners, you're aware, but if you're not aware, Empire actor and former child actor as well.
Yo, he was in Mighty Ducks.
Mighty Ducks. He was in Mighty Ducks. Jussie Smollett said that he was attacked by two men. He said they put a noose around him, and they said MAGA stuff and nigger stuff and stuff about him being gay, all these things. Yeah. And he... people were like, oh, shit, that's bad. And he went on a little tour, and then they were investigating the police, and then you're kind of finding out that I don't...
Two Nigerian bodybuilders.
Yeah.
It's a crazy story.
And not enough information, and then now we're in a place where he is quadrupling down on a lie which has been coming exposed, and there's all this backlash, and it's fitting into the greater societal narrative of not only conservative and liberal, but also... the victimhood thing. It's just like a lot of, as DJ has said off pod, and I will defer to you on this. We are at what?
This is what the critical mass thing is. Yeah, this is a critical mass type of story that just grabs at every single corner of the daily deluge that we've been in for the past, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. So many takes, those hot, cold, and medium all over the place. It doesn't even quite necessitate us mentioning one, although there may be like one or two that we may reference in the conversation. But because I'm sure you just have to know this shit at this point. If you listen to this on some type of podcast app, that means you have a smartphone. Like you've seen or heard about this guy reporting a hoax this is always where I trip up with these adjectives. Okay, so scaling back, right? I was skeptical of the shit as soon as I saw it. Immediately. Particularly because there were just too many buzzwords, dog.
There's SEO this shit too hard.
Yo, SEO, the social justice warrior, the search engine, like, dog, too many buzzwords. You had... okay, he's Jussie Smollett. He's an actor on Empire, part of the Lion family. He's the middle one. He's gay. His mother was a Black Panther. He's socially active and is known to speak on a platform. So now it's 2 a.m. or it's early in the morning on one of the coldest days of all time in Chicago. it's 10 degrees outside with a -20 degree wind chill. He's going to Subway.
Yes.
I didn't even know Subway's open there. Like, that's actually kind
of
lit.
And I love how that's like, that's the weird side plot of this whole thing. People are like, Subway. people are like, no, Subway be open. Like, they got mad good press on this shit. Came back from Jared. We're open late.
Damn, they should have responded on Twitter. So, damn, where were they? Like, we just would have... they're marketing, whoever little homie is that's on their Twitter page, like, he missed an opportunity to really get some shine. But so he says he gets attacked. Well, he gets yelled at, apparently, and they start yelling homophobic and racial epithets at him. Two white guys, apparently, although they became hooded or masked.
Something.
Apparently they threw bleach on him.
Yes.
Beat him up.
Yes.
And sometime in the process yelled, you know, this is MAGA country in the middle of Chicago.
Yes.
And put a noose around his neck.
It was just too much.
It was just too much of the story. And I guess there's a small modicum of a chance that he, like, this is true in some capacity.
Right.
I mean, I'm highly dubious of that as of now, but... they were just that would have been like the craziest story of all time if this shit really would have happened exactly as he said it did. So once the authorities began to poke holes into it, or law enforcement began to poke holes into it, it fell apart relatively quickly.
As someone who gets burned out on these stories, coming in and out of it, before, apparently he had sent himself a letter.
Yeah, that's the FBI I was looking into now. Like, I don't know. There's a lot going
with,
on.
With supposedly a chemical agent or whatever, but the news, I guess he sent it to Empire or whatever, and they threw it out.
They threw out the mail?
Yeah, they were just like, oh, that's some
bullshit. They poured the baby powder into their hand.
It was crushed aspirin.
Oh, shit.
And it's just like, great, like, the narcissism. Or like, what is the end goal of this? Now, in his defense, he won, right? We talked about this motherfucker. I didn't give a fuck about him before this, and now I'm like, wow. You are.
Yeah, but it's always just like, to what effect? So the narcissism got him here, or the delusions of making a point. But the way in which he went about it, obviously for a 36-year-old man to take these type of actions, it just defies imagination.
He seems younger because he just plays a younger character. So people are like, oh, he's
24. Yeah, he looks relatively youthful, you know, taking care of himself. But like,
you're a full grown ass. You're damn near 40, dog.
Right. And he had like the crying wolf playing the victim card. So, most good takes out there, particularly like I think I shared with you like the Adam Serwer piece in the Atlantic. Yes. I guess we'll share in the notes. He builds a story around a case or two within, you know, relatively recent American history in which black people were not believed for their claims, and also in the face of black people also attaining relative social and socio-political economic capital over the past couple of decades, and also a bit of like moral weight behind them. So if something were to happen, it's like, oh, well, I'm a black person.
Right.
I've been a victim my entire life under this white supremacist system. So all that to say, you can use that victimhood again, like as a, what do you want to call that? As a bat? No, what am I trying to say?
A bludgeon.
A bludgeon, yeah. As a bludgeon against any and all the naysayers or someone that will call your story into question. One of the best examples is like O.J. Simpson, right?
Mm-hmm.
So his case in the 90s, there was a confluence of a lot of things going on. You know, I would definitely encourage everybody to watch the O.J. Simpson Made in America documentary. But in short, that became a story just literally about race, and he had pretty much a black jury, and they acquitted him for that because he was willing to play up his blackness and use it as a bludgeon against the criminal justice system that, you know, represents white supremacy in a lot of senses. So your boy Smollett uses all of that, you know, shit to as his own personal tool of, we still don't really know what the motivations are.
The goal, I guess, is to supposedly, they're writing him out anyway.
Okay.
And he was trying to, I guess, maintain or transition to some sort of social justice icon. Like, I don't understand what his plan was
right
in the long term, especially considering how poorly executed it was.
Yeah, like, so short-sighted.
In terms of, I don't know if people have good agents or good managers or people around them. In my head, I don't give a fuck about just, like, he's not a person people care about. Right. I think he might think he is.
Yeah.
So he had a perfect
delusions of grandeur, definitely.
He definitely is a narcissist, delusion of grandeur. And he had a perfect opportunity for someone who was able to be on a show that was highly successful transition into something serious and be like, oh, he's leaving Empire. He could do something. Like, no one would have shot down his career.
I don't know.
Like, he had the perfect opportunity to go on and do different things. And now it's just like, what is this?
I mean, he's going to go to trial for this. I mean, I doubt he really does prison time. But his reputation has been completely shattered. Because he, not only did he affect himself, but he's started this whole, reignited like this kind of racial and homophobic uproar between Annie and everybody, especially on social media. He's made a lot of people look like fools because progressive people were, you know, trying to do their best to really step forward and really always being predisposed to believing victims when they say they really have been victimized. Regardless of the fact that when that story had come out, right? So for better or worse, right, I am, like, on social, right, particularly Twitter, right, you know, like, every now and then I'll scroll and see. I just kept seeing, literally, people retweeting, responding, you know, giving some words of commentary and support to, like, the same headline, like, Jussie Smollett attacked in a racist, homophobic hate crime. Like, literally, that was just the entire sentence. There was no context or anything like that given, but everybody and their mother pretty much jumped on the bandwagon to show support.
It just felt like a terrible Twitter situation. Just the whole, like,
the speed of it.
I just was like, this shit cannot. It was just too in the pocket of the people that are sort of manipulating. It's just, it's becoming.
That shit was better than the algorithm.
Yeah, it's like the algorithm was just, it was like, this is so on the nose that it couldn't be true. And I felt that, obviously, I don't tweet that much, but if I was to come out there and be like, this seems like some bullshit early.
Right, but then you would have caught the ire of the mob as well. And, you know, this just goes as a lesson for all of us, that everybody feels like they have their hot takes and, you know, wants to be part of the ongoing conversation. But if you really don't have a critical perspective or don't know enough of the information, then it's probably best, especially in these cases when it's real, like, crime and legalities involved.
Hang back.
You got to just fall back for a second. Or even just not commit OD hard. You know, oh, okay. I'm sure plenty of people, rightfully so, could have been like, yo, thoughts and prayers to Jussie Smollett. I hope he comes out of this, you know, better and stronger from this. People were, like, really going to the mat for this shit.
Vague. Nice and vague. Allegedly. Use that word if you want to.
Yeah, like, people were really going to the mat for this shit for quite some time. Because that incident happened damn near, like, a month or half a month ago. The two Nigerian guys that were extras on Empire, they went back to Nigeria, so they were out of the country, and the Chicago PD had to wait for them to come back to kind of interrogate them as well to get more context on the story. So it's just like, it's just a weird confluence of everything. It runs up against our when I say, like, Black people collectively, our skepticism and cynicism about police as well. Right. And at a time in which police and Black community relationship is not very good in a lot of places. Well, of all places, definitely Chicago. So to use all of that, like, just as a crutch for his own selfish reasons, really is really bad. I don't know.
My big issue with this, obviously him, but
clearly,
but the way we operate in the space of not only taking individual happenings and trying to analyze them individually. Secondly, Twitter hive-minding about things. Mm-hmm. And thirdly, just this idea, this cognitive dissonance about being wrong. Like, now, what's bothering me is there is now the new counter diatribe or narrative is that just because he did this doesn't mean we should, you know, ignore all the other victims and things like that. And the thing about that is that we know that.
Right.
That is obvious, like, now it's a weird thing where we're sort of navigating the narratives that we're already expected to go through, to jump through these hoops. Right. And it's like, why can't we just be like, fuck Jussie Smollett. Fuck him. When the next time this happens, we're not going to be like, listen, Jussie Smollett, let's just fuck him. And move on. And then move on to actually doing the work that we're all talking about, and instead of having everything sort of be one thought all the time. Mm-hmm. It's not necessary, and it's actually tiresome for people to, you're looking at the tweets of people, like, wrapping their heads around how they're going to write this long shit that fits in, well, we could have respected Jussie, but we don't know, and this and that, and other, but it's like, he's fucking, look what he's doing to the entirety of what we're trying to believe in.
He got put out there and then went in front of, what's his name, Robin Roberts? had a full, like, face-to-face
and
interview.
That, at that point, I was like, this shit is going downhill. That was a terrible interview, dog.
I didn't watch, I've heard clips of it, and he speaks in vagaries and doesn't really.
Vagaries. Very doesn't really, casual, like, and flippant about it.
Yeah, and doesn't quite answer some questions. Then does the whole I'm gay Pac thing, which is lit. It's just a wild situation.
This gay Tupac shit is
that's just lit.
That's up there, best of the year. It's definitely probably the hottest Twitter tag name now. gay Tupac. Everybody want to be the gay Tupac now.
Gay Pac.
Like, it's just like dog.
That was the littest thing of the year though. That's, like, I'm gay Pac. Like, come on, son.
But also, gay Tupac? Was it the original Tupac? The gay Tupac? Oh, hot take.
Questions need answers.
And a nose ring. I'm just like, what is that, man? Like, he was, and to go forward to say these things, I'm just, I can't even deal with this dude. This is just so fucking absurd, and to the point where he was still denying it. Like, I guess he told his empire, like, people that...
Well, he apologized, but I don't think he, like, quite fessed up to it as of yet.
Yeah, some kind of shit where he's just like, I don't know what's going to happen here. I'm sorry for everything that happened, but...
Yeah, because this shit reflects badly on everybody, son. It reflects badly on the communities he represents, his workplace, his family, the two Nigerian guys that...
Shout out to Nigerians.
Son, I don't even have it up, but the one time, son, like, Trump really had the best troll on him, son. Did you see this shit?
Trump was like, yo, gotcha.
What about that? Yo, please pull that up. That was the funniest shit. I'm not even going to lie, because that was a perfect troll, because this was supposed to be, like, this whole anti-MAGA thing to draw everyone's attention, and... Of all, like, the bad faith politics out there, why would you want to be the one to really add to that? Like, with this ridiculous lie.
Just empowering Trump and letting him get one off. Like, haha, got y'all.
Yeah,
shit.
Because we already know, like, that side of like, this white nationalist movement is moving in bad faith. 9.999 times out of 10. So, why even engage in that? And then on the other side as well, truthfully... At least the people that purport to be leaders and social justice warriors or whatever, it's cool to call things into question, to refocus everyone. But the overt, immediate cynicism of, like, police departments and shit like that, even Chicago PD, is not helpful. I don't think that shit is actually helpful. Because at the end of the day, we still do need police. I'm not someone that's like, you can't really be like anti-police, anti-law. Like, there's just no way
society's living with that. I'm very anti-blanket cynicism and things. Like, so we just have anarchy and shit? Like, what's the, I don't like non-planned thoughts. It's like, yo, fuck that. So what are we going to do? Fuck that. It's like, that's all we have?
Yeah, you know, like, if this shit was really legit happened, and that same CPD found the two, what are the adjectives? The two MAGA assailants. Homophobic, news-carrying, bleach-carrying, masked attackers.
A lot of tag words.
If they would have did all of that, then the cynics in the back most likely just wouldn't have said anything, which is perfectly fine. I'm not looking for, I'm not saying we gotta, you know, ball hug the police, but it's just like, just ease up a bit, because they just did their fucking job.
This shit
was
a fire Law and Order episode, right? Like, this shit. Yeah. All the points do. We had a twist. We had a nice reversal.
Yeah.
And shit.
You know, like, they just did their fucking job, and corrupt police departments, they don't represent that entire department. They obviously don't represent all the police. There are tens of thousands of civilian to police interactions every single day that go generally fine.
Cause this is SVU low key, right? This is like, I'm gay, right? Like, you got into the SVU fucking right. Docket.
Yeah, this is gonna be an ill episode coming soon, man. Dick Wolf, he already writing shit up, him and his peoples. Man, I think collectively the people that purport to be leaders, they just have to, like, be more mindful of what you say, especially with the immediate overt cynicism of law enforcement in particular, because it just doesn't really help.
People are just so caught up in the siloing and just sides, and it's just irritating how fast everyone decided to make choices on things and not do any kind of due diligence, to the point where it's like, damn, now we're fucking with Trump, like. At Jesse Smollett, what about MAGA and the tens of millions of people you insulted with your racist and dangerous comments?
Oh, you the real racist.
Hashtag MAGA.
Flamed his ass. He deserved it, son. Like, how you let Trump fucking mention you on Twitter, man? That's bad. And, you know, honestly, I firmly believe Trump, like, he doesn't make all of those tweets. He doesn't put them all together. He has like a whole team around him, and I knew that shit was coming. I knew it was coming. This guy just bought a $50,000 golf simulator for the White House. Like, this nigga's not really doing his job. I'm not even kidding. Googling. He has plenty of time to send off zingers like that for anybody that puts himself in this type of position to strengthen his position. So, quite the story, though. Quite the story.
I have one more note.
Of celebrity.
Kind of goes back to Sower's piece. The mm-hmm. tagline of this. This is this tagline and how it's like purposely obfuscating or just opaque. It just kind of fits in. Like, it could be the tagline on anything. We're talking about big tent ideas and sort of the full mass of all the bullshit coming together. Allegedly fraudulent reports support a narrative that many wish to believe. And it's
yeah.
It's just so well written.
Right.
I just find it hilarious because it's like, yeah. Yeah, that works all the way around.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, even, I think that's what I was saying to Shorty a night or two ago. I was like, honestly, I want to believe he got fucked up by these adjective people. Because if not, it just looks really bad. So we want to believe that he was really victimized in this way so we can empathize with that and try to do better and try to draw attention to it. This does not, this draws all the wrong attention to it and will affect just in terms of initial thoughts of any subsequent hate crime or homophobic assault or what have you on the next person, because that this shit is going to come to mind. Like, he's a celebrity. He brought all this attention to him from, like, nationwide. He got the president fucking tweeting at him. And this is why people don't believe women or what have you
right. When
shit like this happens, because there are these tentpole things that you think about immediately.
What do you think the editorializing on, like, Fox News is right now, or these other Breitbart shit?
It's pretty much about, I can tell you, it's pretty much about social justice warriors and people on the left, crying wolf, just lying. They're the real racists. They're making accusations out of thin air. They're playing up their victimhood and using it as a bludgeon, as Jesse Smollett just did. So this has validated all of those right-wing talking points. It legitimately has. They don't really have much to say when it is legitimate. They didn't really have much to say about, like, the Coast Guard guy that had a whole arsenal and then had a hit list of a bunch of liberals and Democrats he was trying to take out.
What was my man with the van? What happened?
They just go by the way. Yeah, like, they, those type of people just go by the wayside on that type of media. That's not what they're there for. Like, really, conservative media is just a proponent of the culture war. Like, that's pretty much all verbalized conservative politics is nowadays. It's just culture war shit. It's not about economics. It's not even really about foreign policy.
It's not about anything. It's all about bare rhetoric and just this real politics shit. Because I keep laughing at the North Carolina thing, because it's like, how much they talked about motherfuckers.
Yeah, voter fraud. And then so much. We have, like, legit voter fraud in North Carolina. If anybody knows, the 9th Congressional District was subject to massive legitimate voter fraud from a Republican operative working on behalf of, what was the guy's name? I forgot his name. Mark Harris.
Harris.
Yeah, Mark Harris, who had been the Republican incumbent there. Basically, through one way or another, wound up hiring this guy that had a staff of people that would take absentee ballots from generally old people in the district and either dump them in the trash, literally, or fill them out on behalf of Harris. And Harris wound up winning by a very small margin.
Yeah.
So there's a pretty good chance that, well, the election was totally tainted. So,
but Jesse Smollett, you know, he's the real problem.
Yeah, he's the real racist. So, shit is crazy. And you'll never win playing in that Like we were saying, like I was trying to say, like that game of just bad faith and bad faith politics. Like we always will be just be fucking spinning around in this sea of shit because of the terrible history of this country. And if you don't want to try to get out of it, then sure, like there will always be something to be upset about or to play up or to make yourself a victim out of. Everybody's a fucking victim in America, son. It's crazy.
Can we move on to something a little
simpler
more
times? You should have said simpler times.
I was going to riff off your victim thing.
Oh, okay.
You know, some more important victims like, Kim. Remember what happened to her?
She was murdered multiple times audibly.
Or mom or all these people. That...
Yeah. Well, them two were the most that were getting killed. NSYNC,
Christina Aguilera, all those, that era. Mm-hmm. We're going to go back to simpler times.
Yeah.
And we're going to look at a simpler time called 1999, which honestly makes me feel wow-washed.
Wow-washed.
Wow-washed. And to one of my favorite albums as a young person, and one that I guess sparked the career of, I guess, America's number one white rapper.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
The world's probably.
Yeah.
The most successful rapper ever. I believe so.
Maybe.
Album sales? Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
I would imagine.
Eminem.
Marshall Mathers.
That's my New Zealand accent. Eminem.
It's been 20 years since the Slim Shady LP came out.
Yes, right? The Slim Shady LP and the Ringer and Rob Harvia gave us a nice retrospective.
Ah, did he?
Yes.
Very nice.
DJ. How do you feel about this album? How do you feel about the piece? And how do you feel about Eminem?
All right. Thank you for the three question triumvirate right there. But what was the first one? How do I feel about this album?
Yeah.
Okay, so I read the piece. I enjoyed it. I have a weird feeling about Eminem that I'm supposed to like him more than I actually do.
Interesting.
So I went back. Well, actually,
this is a personal thing, or you feel like the society?
No, I can explain it a bit more.
Okay, all right.
I read the piece, and basically, in broad strokes, Harvia basically claims that Slim Shady LP was like the last time he was kind of like a normal person, Eminem. I mean, he had a lot of problems, but
right. That
was the first time.
The
last time before he just, you know, completely blew up and became one of the biggest artists on the planet, or at least in the U.S. And it kind of shows the full apex of Eminem generally to me is probably the Marshall Mathers LP. And
agreed.
Harvia talked about multiple songs on the Marshall Mathers LP. So that kind of
just overshadows.
Yeah, it kind of piqued my interest again because I'm like, yeah, actually, I've known the Marshall Mathers LP to be dope. I remember listening to it and enjoying it. So I'm like, you know what? I think I'm just going to listen to that. I did listen to How My Name Is because I was just going back and like finding the tracks that that he was referencing throughout the piece. I remember really loving I'm Sorry. Remember that joint? I never meant to give you mushrooms, girl. Yeah. I never meant to bring you to my world.
I'm the good thing for the track list.
Right. So... So, actually, because this piece came out maybe like a day or two ago, so I went down the hole and listened to the Marshall Mathers LP, actually. So, I guess that's the 20-year anniversary for that would be probably, what, next year, I guess?
I think it came out. Yeah, 2000.
Yeah, so, not as you're just fire.
Wow, 20 years.
Kim is, like, is the most confounding song I've ever heard in my life, like a song I would just never want to listen to again. Like that shit is designed to like sound terrible, and the lyrics are just...
Wait, hold on. Before we continue,
yeah,
we just gonna talk about Marshall Mathers LP right now.
Let's
give it five.
I'm gonna bring it back.
I can talk about that shit too.
But yeah, so this all goes to say regarding your first question that this piece made me want to listen to Marshall Mathers LP because I didn't like Slim Shady LP as much.
Hmm.
Although Slim Shady LP, it obviously introduced us to Eminem. And I remember at the time, he was even too risque for even, like, me at the time. And even now, I'm still like, damn, like this nigga's like very fucking like,
I listen to this shit.
Misogynist and violent and homophobic.
So Lin Chaney was like, right.
Was that?
Lin Chaney was right.
I mean, yeah. And it was in a, like, always in a tongue-in-cheek type of way. And it was just him expressing himself. But at the end of the day, he was technically good at rapping. And he had a lot of Dr. Dre beats and engineering. So his shit always sounded great. Like, just sound. Like, sounds very good. Even to this day, as I just said, I listened to Marshall Mathers LP yesterday. And it just sounds... It just... Like, that shit could... For the most part, it could come out... Well, it would get a lot of pushback today, obviously. But it would get so much pushback. I don't even know how the shit could really come out. But if it were to come out today, if he just still had like this I don't give a fuck type of persona with the blonded hair and the t-shirts, it just sounds so good and so so well-defined that you wouldn't even think twice about it. Like, it just sounds just that good. I didn't give Slim Shady LP a whole listen, so I couldn't even tell you, but songs I did go back to, they still jam.
They jam.
Still jam. I mean, it's still like the most immature shit I've ever listened to.
Yeah, it is very immature.
It lacks so much like...
Violent and all these things are just like...
Cartoonish. Goofy shit. Yeah, goofy. It lacks a lot of like...
Very like...
Depth and perspective about shit.
The century, like, this is MTV. Like, it just feels like...
Yeah, all the skits and whatnot. But it's charming it kind of in that way because...
Like, dude, Ken Keniff, that whole
shit.
Yeah,
the whole Ken Keniff skit. Yeah. Yeah, all the Rosenberg skits. So it was interesting time capsule to jump back into. So I guess at this point, because I spoke a lot, let me flip it on you. So you said you actually caught me a little bit off guard because you said you loved this album.
It caught you off guard.
Yeah, because like I know you and I didn't take you really for a big Eminem fan.
Well, once upon a time. As a youth, this is around the time I first started listening to music.
Okay.
So,
like, seriously, like, kind of taking it in.
Yeah, and I was but too young to be doing it, but.
Yeah, especially fucking Eminem, yeah.
Like.
But Eminem was, like, the guilty pleasure of the zeitgeist at the time, of the youth at the time. I mean, it just was what it was.
I must have started fucking with music seriously when I must have been, like, 8. So, this is, the first album I really listened to was Hard Life 2.
Okay.
So, I listen to this shit all the time. Like, multiple times.
Yo, my hot take on that one is that shit aged terribly. Too many shitty ass Swiss beats on there. Age bad. Lyricism, yeah. I like grimy gangsta Jay-Z.
Yeah, doing terrible shit, yeah.
But, yeah, moving on.
So, you know, that, and then I was listening to fucking Mace. I listened to that whole shit.
Harlem World?
Yeah, Harlem World. Okay. That shit a lot.
Lit.
So then, I was like, what's the next shit? I was like, oh, Eminem, the Slim Shady.
A complete fucking departure from that shit.
Because it was just what was popular. It was popular. And then at one point, my pops had worked for the record company. So we used to have all these fucking just music. This is the mad different shit. It would just be laying around.
Oh, that's live, yeah.
And I got that. No. I got that because I wanted it. Like, I really wanted that fucking album. And I got it on, here's the Wash Gang, tape.
Ooh. Tape.
A tape, the Slim Shady LP on a tape. I remember listening to my grandma's house on the tape and rewinding the shit. I'm like, oh, I like this fucking song. Or whatever.
Hold on, like, how loudly were you playing this? Because I know your grandma had to be like, Brandon, what the hell is this playing?
Like, I mean.
Oh, let's suck my dick, fuck you, yeah, bitch.
It was quiet enough. I remember listening to that shit on tape, and it was like, yo, this is out of pocket. Like, yeah. Because the songs were so popular, I remember like "Guilty Conscience" and "My Name Is" like big songs. So it was like, oh wow, I'm gonna get this, and I had my little money.
And he references D. Barnes in that song.
Yeah,
and he's like, shout out to D. Barnes. It was like, oh god,
now Dr. Dre.
Yeah, like we were too young to even know that whole context. But it's like, what the fuck? Like this shit is really wild, son.
But I remember listening to all these songs, like "Rock Bottom." I liked a lot. "Just Don't Give a Fuck" was great. "As the World Turns," I like. Yeah. "Bad Meets Evil." Still don't give a fuck. Yeah. Brain Damage.
Brain Damage. Ever since I was the day I was born.
Yeah. I listened to that a lot, man. Yeah. And I was like, oh, this shit is good enough. It was good enough where I was like, I like this guy.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't say it was bad by any means.
Yeah, I mean, definitely dated when I listen to it now. But like, I was like, oh, I like this guy. And between that and the persona and just those singles being so big.
Yeah.
And then I think, I don't know if Forgot About Dre was before Marshall Mathers or after?
I think it came out. That the naming on that album always confused me, although it's literally like one of my top five favorite albums. Yeah, because it's either like Chronic 2000 or 2001, and it came out in 1999. Yeah. That shit's just mad confusing. But I'll look at that real quick. Go ahead.
No, no, but that whole era, I was just listening to whatever, not only whatever was popular, but I just was like buying things and taking tapes. I would take tapes and I would record the music videos on tapes of VHS. I was like, oh, I'm going to listen to this again. So Eminem was like the most popular rapper overnight, it felt like. So I had been a Jay-Z fan, and then in between that time, I guess he had stabbed on, and he was doing all kinds of different shit, and he just kind of was just going not. like before 2000, like before Blueprint came out, like that intermediate period between Hard Knock Life.
That's what I'm talking about, like Grimy where? Jay. Yeah.
I was like, where was he at? And he came back, and you know, Blueprint and stuff. I was like, oh, Jay-Z, I like this. Yeah. But he, like,
Dynasty.
So those couple of years, I was like, oh, Eminem. And from that to Marshall Mathers LP, I was like, wow, Marshall Mathers LP, this is great. Like,
yeah,
I was like, this guy, he's got it all. I listened to that CD. That's I was like, I got the CD.
Leveled up.
I leveled up.
New technology.
All the time. So, you know, it's good that we got this retrospective about him, because, you know, he earned it. He earned it.
Yeah.
In recent years, I mean, even not even in recent years, I remember as someone who was like 13 or 14, after Eminem show, I was like, you're done. Like, this is, at that age, I remember, like, this shit is just not.
Yeah, I think he kind of just, like, started to flame out. He obviously was having personal issues, marital-wise, family-wise, health-wise, throughout the entirety of it. I mean, it shows in his lyrics, obviously. Yo, you didn't even mention Bonnie and Clyde.
97 Bonnie and Clyde.
You don't like that one?
Honestly.
That shit is great. For those that don't know, it's a song of him literally rapping to Haley, his daughter, who was recorded on the track, lovingly explaining in parental terms how he is murdering and discharging her mother. And that's
you think Haley listens to this shit, any of this shit, like,
yeah, that? She's like gotta be like her 20s or something now. Yeah, right
like she's probably like, what the fuck, like,
yeah, she knows her family's fucked up, she knows her parents are fucked up, like that's a thing. But I mean, money can at least alleviate some of this.
She got money.
Yeah. Oh, but for reference while we're at it, so Dre's album was called 2001. Not to be fully, officially it's 2001. Now, they had a Chronic symbol next to the 2001, so that's why everybody knows that's Chronic 2001. But it's called 2001, and it came out November 16th, 1999.
Okay. So, Forgot About Dre was in the, before Marshall Mathers came out.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Built in on this whole.
Yeah, but around that time, you know, Dre was building that whole sound, that kind of space age, thumping Scott Storch influenced sound at the time, and that influenced a lot of Eminem's songs as well, and why they sound so good. So Eminem obviously had a precipitous fall, at least quality wise for pretty much the rest of his career after the Eminem show, which is perfectly fine, although he never really fell off in terms of his technical rap skills. It was just like that persona and that content it just started to get played over time. And honestly, if you listen to those three albums, like, that's all you really need from Eminem, because he's just gonna kind of talk your head off with this crazy cartoony shit for the rest of your time.
Now he's all political and shit. It's just too much.
Yeah, and like with these Trump lambasts and shit, and it's just weird. I mean, I still got love and respect for Eminem. Like, he's a great rapper, and he made a massive impact on the game. And if there was one white rapper that was going to be successful and get a cosign from Dr. Dre, it would be somebody like an Eminem.
I have two Eminem points that I want to give him props for.
Okay.
But one is more of a question towards you. I will give him up and through 8 Mile. So that includes the album.
Yeah, 8 Mile's fire.
I know, but we kind of just jumped. We didn't talk about 8 Mile as well.
Well, so I don't even remember when that came out.
That was like right either before or after Eminem show. Like,
okay,
it
right.
It was just right at that time. So.
And I love Superman. That song, I love the fucking song.
I was like, wow, this is inappropriate.
Yeah, this shit is lit. Like, that's actually might be my favorite Eminem song. So.
Really?
It's up there. It's like top five.
That was kind of where I was leaning with my question. I was like, okay, out of those first two albums.
Okay.
And I'd probably say one for each. What is your favorite song from those two albums?
Because
I listen to that shit a lot. It's like too much.
On On each album?
Yes.
So on Some Shady, what's on Some Shady?
My Name Is, Guilty Conscience.
I would say
Pride,
I have it here too.
Brain Damage. Okay, you got
it. So I would say either Brain Damage or I'm Sorry. Like that, it was either one of those two. That's the name of the song, right? I'm Sorry. No, what is it?
I'm Shady.
What was the song? I Never Meant to Give You Mushrooms, Girl. What's the name of that song?
In My World.
In the Corner Crying. Oh, My Fault. Is that on here? I'm tripping. Which one is it? Rock Bottom. My Fault. Yeah, My Fault. Okay. Yeah, My Fault.
I gotta revisit that.
Nah, it's a ridiculous song. It's a song about obviously giving this downtrodden young lady takes too many mushrooms and starts like zapping out. It's one of those.
I forgot how like heavy he was in drug talk too, and I was just like,
yeah.
Like as a kid, I was like,
I know that's the thing, son. That's why I said coming back and listening to Marshall Mathers, I'm like, yo, this shit is fucking crazy, son. I couldn't even imagine being an adult at the time or even having a child, and my child's like listening to this shit. I'm like, dog, nah. Honestly, you can't, son. You can listen to Jay-Z, like he just comes off a bit more mature. Yeah, like selling the drugs, but this nigga's talking about fucking cutting people's heads off with a chainsaw and fucking like. On what's the joint? Oh, so my favorite song on Marshall Mathers is "Bitch Please" too, the posse track.
Really?
I just love that song. That shit is hard. Hold on, let me see what else I have. Oh, "Kill You," I really like "Kill You."
"Kill You" might be my favorite.
"Kill You" is
that,
fire.
Just the beat and the way, like that is crazy.
Oh, also "I'm Back."
I'm back.
They call me honestly, Slim Marshall, Shady.
I just want to go through.
I'm back.
Can we go through this? Are any of the like? What's trash?
Because Kim, son. Kim is fucking like kill scary
you,
bad.
Kill You. Kill You.
Kill You is fire.
Stan.
Mm-hmm. Classic, obviously. One of the greatest hip-hop songs.
Right. Here's one that didn't age well. Who Knew?
Who I Never Knew Why. That's yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
that's
like,
okay.
It was okay for then. It was better than it is
yeah,
now.
That one didn't age well. That was one of the few songs on Marshall Mathers that hasn't aged well.
The Way I Am.
It hasn't aged well, but I get it.
This shit feels like. It was like a Linkin Park.
Yeah.
One off at this point.
Yeah, and M always dabbled in that shit. Honestly, Dre should have A&R'd him out of doing that. Like that fucking like softcore rock shit. Yeah. Like emo rock. Like, nah, bro.
Real Some Slaty.
Classic.
Classic joint. Remember Me.
Remember
which
Me?
I like that a lot.
Yeah, because those like that and Bitch Please 2 were those chronic 2001
style
sound tracks. Yeah, so. I definitely love that because I love like that just that sound in that album.
I'm Back. Great.
I just mentioned that fire. Great.
Marshall Mathers. I actually like that song.
Yeah.
Not as great as I think in retrospect. Drug Ballad, I actually think is pretty funny.
Yeah.
I like Amityville.
That the chorus is annoying, but it's cool.
Mostly because I think I'm a Bizarre fan.
He said some shit like
little shit, and I'm like, you're clever. Like,
you just do
clever.
Those little like, he's talking about fucking his mom or whatever. Like,
he says shit sometimes, and I'm like, oh, that was actually clever. Like, I miss it because you know you're fat and that's funny. Your whole persona.
Yeah.
Bitch Please 2, Kim being terrible, Criminal. I actually like a lot.
I'm a criminal. I mean, I could live with it.
But I mean, I was like 12 at the time, so it's just,
you just like yeah, like I'm a criminal. I'm a criminal.
But what killed me, which I didn't realize because the whole legacy behind Kim or whatever, was that I had the kids on my album.
Okay.
You heard that song?
No.
So like,
is that was a bonus track?
So like, no, they would like switch out Kim with the kids.
Oh.
Because
she was suing them or something.
It was some
legalities
with that fucking song. Yeah. And the kids was basically like a Sesame Street type beat where he just three verses talked about one drug and a kid that died doing each drug.
Oh god.
And he's like, "Hi kids. This and this this kid took this and this happened to him and
then
he died."
Yeah, I don't think I ever came to that.
That song is actually terribly dark. But I love it. It's hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, this shit is honestly wild. I guess to be honest, this whole album, this Eminem hasn't aged well. Like he would have to be so far on the. I mean, I guess he even was at the time, but he would have to be so hard on the doubling down, I don't give a fuck spectrum, and just completely insulate himself from social media and all the naysayers around him. If he were to like come out with this type of music. Nowadays,
you just had to throw some Trump jabs in there, and people be like, "All right, cool."
I don't know, but like the massive homophobia and misogyny on all these albums is like fucking crazy, son. It's really crazy coming back and listening to it. But it's undeniable, and it is like just a capsule of that time. And he was out of step even at that time.
Because people was not...
people like... whole like the Catholic Church like with like we're trying to like this shit was just it was a lot going on with Eminem, but that was the whole point, and he obviously doubled down on that type of lyricism for the controversy and the intention, and it just worked in spades.
Yeah, Elton John saved him.
Right, yeah, so shit is just wild, man. I mean, if he wasn't as dope as he was as a rapper and displayed that type of lyricism and had the type of cosigns that he had from Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre, he wouldn't have made it. Like, yeah. In terms of, like, he would have just flamed out. They would have blackballed him from the industry, so on and so forth. But because of that, just that confluence of everything he had going for him and him being just legitimately one of the greatest technical rappers of all time, it should really just work. Like, it really worked for a sizable period of time, which he was the biggest rapper out. And he still, I think he has the...
touring or just sales or what? Because he had the latest album did pretty well, right?
He still sells, man. Like, you gotta think, like, it's a lot of white people in the U.S. We always...
How many of them are there?
It's like 78,000. Shit, probably, I don't know, if it's like 40%, it might be, I don't know. Don't make me try to do this math in person. You get what I'm saying anyway. Yes. So, I don't know. I mean, I'll leave it at that. But I was going to say he won by far like the most Grammys for best rap album. But then again, I was like,
what
does that matter? Yeah. And he always would castigate the Grammys as well. Like, I don't give a fuck about the Grammys. So it was always just weird.
Give a damn man a Grammy. After critics can't even stop me. Yeah. When are you winning? Wouldn't it be weird?
Yeah, there you go. So it just became like that default thing because... even still to this day, although the Oscars have, shout out to Transition somewhat, the Oscars have...
Good job. I'm ready. I got it right here.
Yeah, they've diversified a bit of their voting mechanism. It appears as if the Grammys haven't. So it's still the main voting population is just from like label execs and whatnot, which are pretty much just like older white men. And they're like, oh, okay.
Well, sold the most, all right.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, shit, Eminem? Like, they know who the fuck Eminem is. So he just wanted... generally on default multiple times, especially for those latter albums that he was putting out that were critically, you know, poop, but still sold like gangbusters to from coast to coast across America. So it was just kind of a given that he would at least be on their radar, and then they just default to Eminem anyway. He's won it literally like 6 or 7 times or something like that.
Absurd.
Like almost all his albums won that rap album of the year from the Grammys. Blotting out the sun over a 20-year career.
Shout out to the white god, Eminem.
Rap god.
Overrated song.
He still puts out a couple of, like, not even songs you generally like to listen to. It's like, oh, he's rapping.
It's like, oh, all right, good skill. Right. Good job there.
So I'll bookend it with just a shout out to M.O., my fam. He's the biggest Eminem fan I know and still vehemently defends Eminem to this day, like his work and albums and whatnot. He had a car for quite some time, finally just became a normal New Yorker and just takes a train everywhere. But we would just be riding around. Every time a new album come out, he'd be bumping it. We ride around. I'm like, yo, low-key, I don't want to listen to this shit. But he's still all in on him. Like, he's definitely his favorite rapper ever. So shout out to M.O. and all those like him. And Slim Shady LP.
Before we get out of here, DJ, because we're pressing up against time here.
Yeah, dinner dates.
Of course. You're a cultured man.
I try to be. I pay attention a little bit.
You be watching movies.
Ostensibly. Purportedly.
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 You do. And the Oscars are this weekend. I wanted to get this for you before we run out of here. Best Picture. Who's going home with it? Is it Vice? A thrilling political drama showcasing the bumbling George W. Bush and the cunning Dick Cheney. A Star is Born. A love romance about rock, drugs, success, and pain. Roma, Is It Hard to Be a House Cleaner? It is, in black and white. You have Green Book, black people, white people, eating chicken, gay piano. You have The Favorite. I don't know about this movie. You have Bohemian Rhapsody. Rami Malek got crazy teeth. You have Black Klansman, which is the only movie in this I saw, and Black Panther, which I guess I saw as well. DJ, Best Picture. What do you have? And have you seen all these or some of them?
No, hell no. I be watching movies, but on my own time, and I don't necessarily watch all the Oscar bait type of movies. Although this, the crop of Best Pictures this year is doesn't seem to be as stodgy as it can be in its history. The Favorite was the one about that queen, and then that she had like the two, I guess, servant women. One was played by Emma Stone. It's like a dark comedy. Okay. I haven't seen it. I've just heard conversations about it.
The Favorite is wonderful, nasty fun.
Ah, there you go. Okay, who said that? A.O. Scott?
David Edelstein and Vulture.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Shout out to Vulture. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, eating culture. No, I've seen Black Panther. Obviously, I'm black. Like, that's the new black card.
Well, there are three of these are black.
So. I've seen Black Klansman. Okay. Apparently, that's like the makeup bait, potentially, for Spike Lee to get a Best Director.
Yes.
Trophy. I'm not sure if I agree with that. In retrospect, I really didn't love the movie as much as
okay.
Yeah, it was okay. It was okay. I found the end of the movie to be relatively cheap.
It was just like, it's over.
Yeah, it was like, it's over. Here's some Charlottesville footage, and everything was sewn up very nicely.
You know, you think, I guess
they got, they called the racist cop.
You think Spike would be less heavy-handed the older he gets, but just gets
no heavier, bro. Like
that hand just keeps growing.
Heavier. Like, we all love Spike here. Obviously, shout out to the Mars, bro. But you know, we're it's perfectly fine to have an opinion. I didn't say the movie was bad, but I mean, then I think that was like the best movie out, or even the best black movie with the word black in his name.
How many K's?
Clearly not. What else was there? I haven't seen Bohemian Rhapsody. I've waited to see Vice because I kind of missed it after the first couple weeks.
That just seemed right in your pocket, so I'm
surprised. I fuck with Adam McKay. I fuck with that style of directing and his writing. I'll probably catch it when it makes it. I'll definitely catch it when it makes it to HBO or whatever. Although I have plenty of faith that one will be pretty dope. But no, I think only ones I've seen were Black Panther and Black Panther. So I hope Black Panther
Roma?
Wins it. Oh, I've seen Roma. Sorry. Okay. Shout out to Alfonso
Cuarón. Star is Born?
No, I haven't seen him.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you seen him?
No, but everyone, I heard the song.
The Deep End. Yeah. That one. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely not my wheelhouse. My wheelhouse is more Hustle and Flow and 8 Mile. Just in
pop movies. Oscar films.
Right. Shit, 8 Mile should have been nominated back then. That shit was a classic.
It wasn't nominated?
I don't know. Oh, definitely not for Best Picture.
He won, right?
Probably for the fucking song. I'm talking about for the movie. Okay. The movie was fire. Yo.
Damn, R.I.P. Brittany Murphy.
R.I.P. Brittany Murphy. Damn, got dark in the pot real quick. R.I.P. Brittany Murphy. No, I'm rooting for Black Panther, though. I think Black Panther, it embodies all that should be the qualifications for a Best Picture.
It's interesting. We're getting into, to wrap up the whole thematic of the plot, we're getting into a cognitive dissonance situation again. Because it's like, in theory, and what they do, it's like, damn, this should make a lot of fucking money.
It made a lot of money. It was critically adored. It's a cultural phenomenon. It's a shift in the paradigm. It is, from most people's accounts, the best and greatest superhero movie of all time. So how is that not the Best Picture of the year? Why are you making that face?
I mean...
Oh, would you like Thor Ragnarok more, which is also fire?
I haven't seen it yet. People keep saying it's good.
It's on like Netflix or whatever. You gotta watch that.
Yeah, I just don't. It's too late.
Okay.
I don't understand. My thing about Black Panther is like, I don't feel like it was selected in good faith. It was like, here, niggas.
Yeah. So what? So I don't give a fuck. So what?
And on top of that, I don't think it was that great. Like, it just had, I can't take Michael B. Jordan's acting.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of it either.
And I also, and then the last act of this, they just ran out of the CGI budget. They was like, all right, just finish the shit up. And yeah. He was like fighting. It was just weird.
Yeah, they had to put in that requisite big CGI fight scene, which is more or less disappointing. But I don't think it takes away enough from the movie for it not to be the Best Picture of the year. Nobody said it was perfect, you know.
Just best.
Yeah, just the best movie of the year. It's the best picture. Like, it just carries everything. Like, what does it really mean? And also, what does it mean for us to even be talking about the Oscars?
Because, agreed, because, like, the other ones are just, what, the most stodgy type film that people like. Yeah. Like what the fuck? Yeah. Who gives a shit?
And I was sitting here about to be like, oh, well, who cares about the Oscars? But really, it's the point of inclusion and legitimacy, I think, like, right, that you can really kind of stand on, which is that, okay, if regardless of the age and the history of the institution or this award show, it's like, okay, if y'all are really looking at the crop of the best movies, which even still to this point, obviously we know they're not necessarily doing, but that's it. Okay. If y'all are, then y'all need to take these type of movies seriously. Y'all need to take movies from Black actors and Black directors, or a diverse set of actors and directors and producers and gaffers and everybody that's involved. Like, you have to take that shit seriously and take it into account. It can't always just be the stodgy historical biopic about fucking how King Charles learned how to speak English in public or whatever.
Like, those scripts always make me mad. We talked about this a lot. We'll talk about it more. But my thing is, very rarely does the big cultural sort of thing win. That's really more I was thinking about. Like, okay, does that big film usually win? I was just trying to scroll through and see. Like,
Lord of the Rings won.
Lord of the Rings, Titanic.
Titanic won.
And I think those, like, oh, well, Braveheart, does that count as that?
I mean, it's about, yeah.
Braveheart. I mean,
somewhere. It's so, not like, fantasy, but.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was just trying to, like, look for that. So those are our precedents, and I think that makes it okay for me. In terms of inclusion, I really wish that it was Get Out that won last year. That would have felt more satisfying for me than, like, this Marvel shit, but.
I think that's your film head in you.
Get Out is, like.
No. I'm not disagreeing with you, like, that it could have and should have won. It's just that. It's more than just the
fish movie.
Yeah, that was wild. But I mean, it's more than just the quality of the film for Black Panther at this point. Like, it's
an idea.
It's everything that came with it. It was literally like a cultural phenomenon. Like, yeah, that should count for something. They were trying to make that bullshit ass category for movies like Black Panther, and they got a lot of pushback. So now they just have kept it with the normal Best Picture field, and. So now you still have that dilemma at hand, but there aren't any other, even in their own type of way, there aren't any other undeniable films up for Best Picture this year. There just aren't. So if that's not the case, especially, then why not have Black Panther win?
I went to
There Will Be Blood didn't come out this year.
Agreed. I went to the Blazers Nets game, and I got there late, which I was very upset about because I did not get my Black Panther bobblehead. So, with your point, you're saying it's a phenomenon, and it really encapsulated everything from the year. So, it's been another great send the link, man. Glad you can come through. Talk shit.
Per usual. Hopefully, it was a shiny shit.
definitely shiny shit. You heard us, you know, chat about different articles from The Atlantic, talking about Jussie Smollett and his ongoing chaos, Eminem at the Ringer, and of course Oscar talk and Robert Kraft, you know, getting these hoes. So check us out, Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Google Podcasts, and we'll be back next week.
Yeah, man. Be on your YOLO shit like Robert Kraft is.
Jupiter, Florida. Live life.
We out.